Welcome to your favorite F-word podcast, where we dive deep into conversations around food, fitness, feelings, with the occasional fuck thrown in. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Nicola,
owners of Paradigm Nutrition and Performance, nutrition coaches, besties, and most importantly, humans.
This show is for coaches, self-growth-oriented folks, active humans, or anyone looking to deepen their understanding and relationship with food, movement, and themselves.
Thanks for tuning in, and we cannot wait to share this space with you.
Okay, hello everybody. Here's another episode of Your Favorite F-Word with Nicola and Sarah. And today we are stressed the fuck out, or rather talking about stress. I don't know about you, but maybe as like coming out on the other side of a very stressful period, for me at least.
Are we coming out of it?
I am.
I just read your fuck yes and fuck no for later, and it sounds like,
well, to be fair, I wrote this about a year ago. That's because true. We've been talking about
that is true, but except for no,
my fuck yes is really good. Stop skipping ahead.
Okay. Anyway.
Stop skipping ahead. Okay. Anyway. So we're talking about stress. I'm currently stressed about not having the perfect notes. Sarah stressing me out. So this episode will be all about how Sarah is the biggest source of stress in my life. But no, a laugh. Okay. So we have truly been meaning to do this for a hot minute.
Yeah.
I think like, what was it? 2 months ago? We kind of were discussing this because it was a particularly stressful time for ourselves, for sure. So, You know, we are the source of our own inspiration.
Yeah.
But also because it was a very common conversation among our clients and continues to be. Mm-hmm. But I do also think that like the conversations about stress and their impacts in our lives and all that kind of thing really does like come with the territory, like what we do and who we work with, because for we do have like a lot of high achieving clients, busy people, You know, taking on careers, growing families, all that kind of stuff. And stress is just a universal thing. So important to talk about for many reasons, but In particular, how it pertains to our health, our lifestyle, our relationship. So we hope to kind of cover some ground today and also give maybe some hot takes on things that we're noticing.
Mm-hmm. I feel like stress is like such a trendy thing. Well, cortisol specifically is like a trendy thing right now on social media. And it's like, drink this magic fucking coconut water, salt, orange juice mixture, and like all your cortisol will go away and like shit like that. Or like, God forbid you have coffee in the morning before you eat. Like that's just going to spike your cortisol. I mean, you already had your eggs.
Oh no, I definitely ate, but I usually have coffee before I eat. So.
Me too. So I think that there's just like a lot of stuff on social media right now that is, You know, making us fear something we don't necessarily need to fear that much. And just kind of, I don't know. It just like everything on social media, fucking no nuance, blown out of proportion, fucking Taken completely the wrong way. So,
but I think like in this conversation, certainly we want to kind of like minimize any sort of like fear around stress, but also I think we're collectively pretty unaware of stress.
For sure.
I think we're just so used to it. And I don't think there is like a very good universal understanding of all of the different ways that our body, ourselves accumulate stress.
Mm-hmm.
So we do also want to kind of dive into those a little bit and maybe help you, you know, parse through the different domains in which you are experiencing stress, maybe come to realize that things are maybe a little bit more stressful than you have given them credit for, And also recognize, you know, ways to minimize stress, things to consider, and ultimately recognize that like stress isn't the end of the world. It's inevitable. But it really is about just like knowing yourself and having that attunement.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. Let's talk about like how we kind of use stress as something with clients maybe then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, stress is one of the main biofeedback markers that we look at when we are tracking clients' biofeedback. So we have clients rate their stress on a scale from 1 to 5 every single day in their daily logs. And then in our check-ins, we ask them specifically about their stress levels. And so every single week, we are getting a little bit of insight into our clients' stressors. We'll go into this in more detail, but that is the perceived stress, right? Those are the stressors that they are like, oh, this thing is stressing me out. Sometimes there is something that's acute, like, oh, my kid was up sick this week, or, oh, mm-hmm. I had to like work an emergency shift at work, or, you know, those kind of things that come up as like one-offs here and there. And sometimes they are more chronic. So like a negative work environment, being in a negative relationship, you know, that kind of stuff that is like every single day kind of becoming part of the puzzle. But we definitely try to get as good of an insight as possible in all of the ways that our clients are perceiving stress and experiencing stress through understanding what they're doing for training, what their recovery looks like, what their free time looks like, that kind of stuff, just so that we have a really well-rounded understanding of what that entire stress load is looking like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the term stress load is something to kind of orient yourself with, because mm-hmm. for the most part, I think when people think about stress, or, you know, just even hearing the word, we automatically go to like, what are the perceived stressors, whether they're acute or chronic, but the things that are in our environment are impacting us like mentally, emotionally. But mm-hmm. I think often we don't necessarily think about like the physical stressors, or the more like nuanced, you know, environmental things that we wouldn't automatically think of. So when we talk about stress load, that is really our like catch-all term for like the big stress bucket that's mm-hmm. catching every single stress from all of these different inputs.
Yeah. And when we're thinking about perceived stress too, like we're often only considering like the event itself. So like, oh, that was stressful. My kid was up all night sleeping and I didn't get sleep. And now today was stressful because I'm fucking tired. I'm rushing through work. I forgot my meal prep. Like I'm craving things, blah, blah, blah. So we really only like consider that one event, and we don't necessarily consider how our body is like actually responding to that stress from a hormonal metabolic standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not thinking about that physiological response. And when it comes to stress impacting us chronically, and the way that stress impacts, especially when it comes to like our fitness goals, that physiological response is very important to understand in order to make sense of what's going on and to be able to recognize how all of these stressors kind of like can work against us.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when we talk about like most clients are seeking like a physical goal, whether that's increased like muscle mass, whether that's fat loss, to just give two examples, but the physiological component really has to be taken care of before we're going to see the physical. There's like that kind of P3 model where we look at like our practices. So like our consistency, our adherence, you know, all the things that we're doing, all the actions and behaviors that we're taking. And then we also think about our perceptions, how we're responding to stress, how like what our mindset is, all like the rituals and things we do for ourselves. Self-care could be clumped into that, really impacts our physiology, and our physiology then impacts our ability to make the physical changes. So if we're thinking about goals, we need to then be thinking about how stress impacts everything leading up to our body's ability to make those goals.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I also wanted to bring up, just hearing you talk about like, you know, the clients are rating their perceived stress. I don't know if you've come up against this, and it's something I've kind of like, you know, gone back and forth on, is what happens when you have a client who on a daily basis is rating their stress really low. I'm right. talking like ones across the board. And yet when we get to a check-in and we're reading through their daily logs, we're hearing like bits of like, you know, super hard workout, feeling so tired, like DOMS like crazy, terrible sleep, you know, skipped some meals, you know, work was so busy. I had to pick up extra hours. I didn't have time to do X or Y because my day was go, go, go. And now I'm hearing all these things that I know to be very stress inducing for a good chunk of the population, but that's not what the client is perceiving. So they're right. perceiving stress being really low, but all of these things that I'm hearing about would indicate that stress is actually pretty high.
Yeah.
And sometimes in a check-in, I usually will point that out and be like, I would be very stressed if right. I was in your shoes, or saying things like, how are you thinking about stress? Like, do you conceive, you know, that hard training session as a stress on your body?
Right.
And I like grapple between like, you know, a client ultimately is the one who knows themselves best,
mm-hmm.
but are we also just kind of collectively so used to that, like go, 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 skip meals, skip sleep, push forward lifestyle that we're just like so immune to the idea that that is stressful. Yeah. It's normalized.
Yeah.
And so I go back and forth because I don't want to tell a client, you know, you're wrong. You're actually so stressed.
Right.
And yet I'm also like, you're wrong. You're actually so stressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard.
It's challenging. I think how everyone thinks about stress is so individualized, and how we respond to it and how we work with it. Right. I think we all know people who, you know, have a tendency to be overwhelmed by things that might not overwhelm us, or vice versa. I know people who like seemingly fucking do it all and don't seem stressed at all. And I'm like, how are you fucking functioning? Right.
Mm-hmm.
We all like, there's definitely a spectrum there when it comes to like what we think is normal in terms of stress and what even we think stress is,
mm-hmm.
Based on largely on how you were brought up into this world. But just because we don't think something is stressful. So in this client's situation, like that might be normal to her. Like she's grown up, she's always done all the things, she's always, mm-hmm. you know, pushed her body, whatever. That's normal. It doesn't feel stressful because, you know, it's just what she does. But that doesn't mean that she's not having a physiological stress mm-hmm. response, which we're going to talk about what that is, and that it's not creating increases in cortisol and all of the changes that happen when we are in a chronically physiological stressed state.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And that's where it can be hard to work with clients like that, in terms of like helping them realize, like, I know in your brain, it doesn't feel stressful, but your body is doing differently, you know?
Once again, the body be keeping the score.
Yeah. Yeah.
That bitch has a tally going.
Yeah, it is challenging. And I think part of the reason we wanted to do this podcast was to help people realize that side of
things.
Expand
your definition of stress.
Yeah. I also think, before we move on to the stress response, that there's kind of like another couple of chains of thoughts. Number one, that like there's not much we can do about stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially with perceived stressors, some of those are 1000% out of our control, beyond mm-hmm. quitting a job or putting your kids up for adoption or fucking like, you know, like we can't get rid of some of those acute perceived stressors that, you know, any of those situations I just described would be stress. But there's still a lot we can do to help how our body reacts to that, how our minds react to that, and to change other stressors in our life. And on the flip side of that, I also think if we are stressing about how stressed we are, again, that just is adding to the fucking load, right? So we have to find that middle ground where we are, okay, we're aware of this, we understand the impacts, we're doing what we can within our control to reduce our stress load. But at the same time, we're not going to be perfect in it. We're not going to have control over every single fucking thing. And like, there's a middle ground to be found there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, like, to your idea of like there being different lines of thought on this, I think another common conception is like, okay, stress is bad, I need to avoid it at all costs.
Right.
When in reality, stress is like a very helpful evolutionary like ability of ours.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to things like training and nutrition, like we require that physical stress of training on our body in order to make changes.
Yeah.
Just like we require a certain amount of stress for motivation. Like
yeah.
if there's no pressure, there's no urgency to anything, we wouldn't get anything done. Stress Absolutely. Is helpful. It's a very good motivator.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we need to find a balance because we are not going to be able to avoid it. It is absolutely inevitable in life. And so how can we harness it? How can we find the ways in which stress moves us forward, helps us, you know, meet our daily needs, get to our goals without getting to a point of burnout or injury or a hormonal dysfunction, things like that. Or just like feeling shitty in general. So balance, baby.
Balance, that fucking B word. Yeah. So yeah, our body, like our bodies were literally designed to handle stress. Mm-hmm. Like it is a evolutionary adaptive response,
mm-hmm.
right? In a certain context. Lots of us are getting out of that context, which is where it's becoming problematic. So the goal of the stress response is to keep us alive through some sort of challenge or threat, right? That was why we evolved to have this physiological stress response. However, mm-hmm. our body, and those are generally, that was to like an acute stressor, right? So I think we use the example like, being chased by like a wild animal or something, right?
Saber-toothed tiger yeah. is approaching.
Yeah. So if we don't have a stress response, we're just like, hey, buddy. But with a stress response, that is what allows our body to recognize it as a threat and to mobilize ourselves to run away from it or to protect right. or fight it. Right.
Yeah. It literally suppresses some general functions in our body in order to maximize other ones.
Yeah.
So like that fight or flight, we talk about it in the context of like fight or flight or rest and digest, these like two opposing parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous systems that will engage. And we do not continue to like happily digest our food. We don't, you know, relax enough to go take a shit. If a saber-toothed tiger approaches, right. we're not going to be like, okay, cool. My body is not going to have those like same signals that like, oh, you have to pee right now. It's going right. to shut that shit off literally yeah. so that we can focus on what is actually that threat. So our body is constantly scanning the world for these threats and making the internal adjustments as necessary for us to continue to engage safely, survive all that good stuff that we survive, maybe not thrive, I don't know, but all that stuff in life.
Yeah. And so while that is all fine and dandy and plays an absolutely fucking necessary role in survival, what we're seeing in today's day and age is that that response in our body was not designed to handle constant exposure mm-hmm. to stressors, right?
Sitting in traffic, feeling freaked out that you're going to be late for work, getting a freak, like a scary email, sitting there thinking about what to respond to the email. Someone comes into your office to bug you about something. Oh my God.
You're stressing everyone out right now.
Did you just get a sound change?
No.
I accidentally hit something on my mic and it's like absolutely going crazy.
Oh no, you still sound normal.
Okay.
It's anyways, really I'm glad happy. That interrupted you because you were stressing me out with all that shit.
Okay, good.
but anyways, those are just examples of like, wow, if we are not mindful of this, like literally everything that we do in a day could be causing some sort of physiological response, right? So
yeah. And yet we still like sit there at our desk.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it just, our body wasn't designed for that. And so what's starting to happen now with many people is that we have the organs and the systems that are involved in the stress response are now not working properly. They are not functioning optimally. There's maladaptation happening. And our brain is just constantly like trying to adjust our response and compensate as a result of like this continued exposure to stress.
Really? Yeah. So really happy stuff, you know?
Super happy. So what do we do about that? or what's really happening here?
What's really happening? Did you just highlight that? Because that's where you are. I feel like you need to finish your train of thought right now.
No. Or do we want to go into this part? Nicola made these notes, so I'm like, where do you want to go now? Because we're like kind of all over the place in these notes. But we have, what is the stress response? Do we want to go into that?
So, as we mentioned, our body is scanning for these threats and making adjustments to upregulate pieces, so hormones, neurotransmitters, things like that, or downregulating others in a response. So in a sense, this is where like that perception of our ability to manage stress, so like our habits, our mindset does play a role, certainly. But also just being aware of like all of the things that are happening, kind of like that cascade of changes and a response to stress that are happening internally that we might not necessarily be aware of. So our body's priority, like we said, is to keep us alive. That is always going to be prioritized. But the second priority, assuming everything is safe and we're doing well, would then be to reproduce. And so in that sense, our body will then prioritize reproductive hormones, testosterone. It'll impact our sex drive, menstruation, our adrenals, our HPA access, and metabolism. So that's kind of like what our body is focusing on. And yet if we're like then living in that high stress place, those pieces around our sex drive, our hormones, our menstrual cycle, our metabolism are not going to be given the same preference that they normally would be in like a quote unquote healthy or normal state.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so what's happening is our nervous system in a stress response is impacting multiple organ systems and different like reactions. And we could go into the detail of this, but basically there's a stress response. It impact or it activates the sympathetic nervous system, and then the HPA axis, all of these things happen. And the end result of that is the production of cortisol. Okay. And cortisol is kind of the thing that's in the media right now. That's like, oh my God, cortisol is so bad. Your cortisol is high. Look at my puffy face. And then I started drinking this drink and now I don't have a puffy face because I have no cortisol.
We can talk about our algorithm nightmares again later, but you're being served some kind of like fresh hell. These things.
Yeah. It's really bad on mine, but anyways, and not having any cortisol is also bad, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to cortisol, cortisol is what we call catabolic, which means that it breaks down things it breaks down substrate in order to, we want to say like free energy. So it breaks down substrate so that we have substrate available to fight or flight. Okay. So that is happening because we are prepping to literally be mobilized in some way against the saber-toothed tiger for this example. Okay. So we can see where this might become a problem if we are getting stressed by something that doesn't require that mobilization. Right. And now we have all of this free energy and where it's decoupled from any like movement, alertness, or action, right? We don't need a physical response to being stuck in traffic or, you know, that kind of thing. So that's kind of where all of this like quote unquote negative response to chronic stress starts. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same time, like when we're talking about like the fact that cortisol is catabolic, it's freeing energy essentially to be utilized. So that doesn't necessarily mean, what am I trying to say? It shouldn't like be a scary thing. This is again, like a natural adaptation and something that is evolutionary beneficial. But what we do start to see, and I think this is more like a long-term thing, is the connection between higher cortisol and other hormonal dysfunction that ultimately can, in certain situations, lead to weight gain. Mm-hmm. That is not to say that every time you experience that stressful email from the saber-toothed tiger virtually, that you need to get up and like go burn the calories. That's right. Not at all what we're saying. So we need to put that caveat in there.
For sure. Yeah, we're, what was I going to say? That cortisol, when our cortisol is elevated, that is like our main stress hormone. That is telling our body now that we don't have capacity for sex hormone function or for, you know, our thyroid function, that kind of stuff, digestion, those things. And that's when you go to like a hormone, let's just say a naturopath. If you go to a naturopath, they always talk about how cortisol is like the main hormone, because if cortisol is out of whack, then it's going to affect all of those other hormonal systems. And that's what we're talking about here, right? Is we're in a state of responding to stress chronically, and now the other systems that our body needs to function are not operating at capacity. And because of that, then that's where we start to see influences in things that we are typically working with our clients with. So things like body composition, hunger, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So again, looking at like the cortisol being part of like the physiological system, influencing ultimately like our goals around weight loss, body composition, muscle mm-hmm. gain, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, why don't we talk more about like the different forms of stress beyond just like this perceived stress that we really emphasize with our clients? We need to consider all of them to really be mindful of our total stress load.
Absolutely. One that we talked about a few podcast episodes ago when we talked about shift work is circadian disruption. So that could be from working shift work, that could be from jet lag, that could be from shit sleep hygiene, right? But if we have any sort of circadian disruption where we are not able to sleep when we are supposed to sleep, or even just not sleeping enough each night, or not having high enough quality sleep, that is a stressor on our body.
Mm-hmm. And this one I think specifically is like well tied into the conversation around cortisol, because cortisol, like, yes, we're talking about those like spikes in cortisol that maybe aren't beneficial when, you know, we're perpetually seeing that cycle, where various things can start to happen to cortisol, but it does naturally flow through a rhythm that is closely, if not exactly, mimicked alongside our circadian rhythm, so that cortisol is naturally in like, again, a normal, healthy, big air quotes around all that, but functioning body is at its peak first thing in the morning around rising time. So typically that's like within the hours of like 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. it is at its peak. And then throughout the day, it slowly declines at a nice, like gradual decline until it's at its lowest levels before bed. And mm-hmm. that makes sense when we're talking about like the energy. So we want to have more energy is available to us in the morning. And then as we are gearing up for sleep, we're winding down, that cortisol is at its lowest, which also makes sense. And then throughout the night, it is slowly increasing so that we are wakeful around that rising time first thing in the morning.
Yeah. So if we're working shift work, or we're jet lagged or something like that, now our sleeping patterns are no longer matched with that natural rise and fall in cortisol. And over time, adaptations can occur. And on the flip side of that, if cortisol is constantly elevated and we're not getting those drops before bed, it's also going to cause difficulty sleeping.
Okay, so that's definitely a big one. And I would say something we talk about with every single client at some point in time.
Absolutely.
It's just like making sure sleep is a priority, because then if we're talking about circadian rhythm and its impact to stress, then it's like, in layman's terms, if we're not getting enough quality sleep, that is a stressor on our.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The next and most notable piece for people is perceived stress. So that's like our mental, our emotional, you know, psychological or cognitive kind of stressors.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a note here. I listened to a very interesting podcast the other day talking about like our current attention span and like how many things in our society we are just like as individuals walking around having to pay attention to on a daily basis.
Right.
And how there is like for most people, little to no downtime where our attention can flow, we can be inattentive. And I think we like prioritize, you know, paying attention to things in our society.
Mm-hmm.
But what she described, I have never thought about it like this, but she's like, if you think about your body and you are training your body is like working hard for you all day, every single day, it's going to get really tired. You're going to, you know, reach a point where you can no longer function the same and you're way more prone to injury. That is the same process that is happening to like our brains cognitively when we are on
yeah.
and not having any downtime. And so she almost talked about this idea of like burnout, like real burnout, not just like, you know, I'm feeling burnt out at the end of like a really tiring day. It's like true burnout where you've been going hard for so long. Just like that is like a brain injury. Like it's akin to what it would be like if you, you know, had an injury from like overuse of like your elbow,
right?
Tennis elbow or something for the brain.
Yeah.
And so you really do need time off in order to, you know, if you get to the point of that true burnout or quote unquote brain injury, you actually do need some serious recovery time before you're going to be able to like be functioning at your highest, be like cognitively attuned, be emotionally present. And then on the flip side, if we're looking to prevent burnout, we really do need to be scheduling ourselves rest and self-care and time off from being so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just so interesting to think about.
That's a really great analogy. A similar conversation that I've had slash like read or listened to is like this idea, and it goes along. So Nicola's talking about like attention requirements of like hectic jobs, running kids around or whatever, but just like as a society, we are in a constant state of stimulation. Mm-hmm. And for many, many people, their downtime is still incredibly stimulating. So I think a lot of people there, and like Brad, I get so frustrated with Brad with this because he has ADHD, and people with ADHD, they need that dopamine, right? Especially if they're trying to manage it unmedicated. And so that stimulation it's a dopamine hit, right? And we're addicted to continually having that stimulation. And so many people will, as a way to decompress, scroll their phones, watch TV, something like that. But if we're thinking about the brain and we're thinking about that like constant attention, that's not giving your brain a break.
No,
like it's truly not, right?
Aiding in that stress. It might be a lower, like a much lower
especially
form of stress.
Scrolling social media, because we're not just scrolling mindlessly. We're also internalizing the messages we're seeing. We're fucking comparing ourselves. It's making us think of something else that we forgot to do or that we should be doing or whatever. And
oh,
it's
God,
just
now
like
stress too.
Yeah. So when we talk about stress management, which we're not going to have a ton of time to talk about at the end of this, but we need to be mindful that like the things that we are doing to manage our stress are not actually just like contributing to more stress. Anyways, that's a great analogy. And I think something that we don't give enough attention to, which is hilarious because we're talking about how
it's because we've put our attention every single other place.
Okay, moving on.
Okay. Other forms of stress could be conceived as like anxiety and depression. This one might not seem super intuitive, but it's kind of like an indirect form of stress in terms of taking mental and emotional toll on us. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine, if you are someone who navigates anxiety and or depression, certainly I think you could probably relate to feeling not at your full capacity when those pieces are at like the front line of mm-hmm. your thinking and your emotions.
For sure.
Other pieces that I don't think people commonly integrate in terms of their like conception of stress are like glycemic dysregulation. So forms of stress related to food and nutrients or lack of nutrients, in terms of like regulating their energy balance, pieces like that. We can experience stress from not eating enough food. So we talk to our clients who are entering a diet phase about this. If stress is already high, adding the stress of a diet, like a calorie deficit, not always the best idea. Because again, we're thinking about our total stress load and how much is that calorie deficit going to impact and increase our stress load.
Yeah.
So prolonged deficits, huge stress on the body.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, we're going to have cortisol elevated in that situation, down regulation from high cortisol and also not enough calories in, right? So there's just like a whole whack of things that can happen in that situation. And I think when we talk about calorie deficits, like that's one area where we really, really dive into stress with our clients, because from a long-term health standpoint, like that's something that we are always being mindful of. And, you know, lots of clients think like, you know, they're going to be happier or their life is going to be so much better if they can, you know, lose these last 10 pounds. But then you have to look at, okay, what are the physiological outcomes long-term of a calorie deficit as a stressor on top of everything else that's going on in your life? Aside from, is the calorie deficit actually going to work? Are we going to be able to adhere to it? And is your body going to respond? But also just like that added stress. And sometimes we find a way to make it work. And sometimes we help clients realize like, okay, it's not the right time, or maybe that's not what is important to me, right? But we are being mindful of how things like the food we're intaking are impacting that stress response and vice versa.
Yeah, that's a big one for sure. Another piece here is like inflammatory or like internal signals, intestinal permeability, infectious diseases, allergies. So like, yeah, and things like leaky gut, you know, different gut issues in general can be mm-hmm. like an internal stress that you, again, we're not thinking about that as a stressor, but that is stressing our system.
Mm-hmm. And it can stress your system internally, but also externally as well. So if you are dealing with, you know, digestive issues or like huge flare-ups and inflammation or something like that, like not only is that affecting you physiologically, but mentally it's probably affecting you as well, because it's uncomfortable. It's impacting what you're doing in your day-to-day. It's impacting potentially the clothes that you feel comfortable in or what you feel comfortable doing, or, you know, having to worry about like, am I going to be able to find something to eat that I can not shit myself afterwards? Like those types of things, right? So it can also add that like mental load stress.
Yeah. And then maybe the last one to mention are like environmental stressors, and not necessarily the people around us, so to speak, but literally what is in our environment. So people who are like living in an environment where they are in close proximity to like toxins, for example. But this could also be like, if we do not have access to like healthy, whole, like nutrient dense foods, if we're living in like a food desert, things like that can be environmental stressors. But more broadly too, I think in terms of like a social environment, there's things like minority stress, stress for immigrants, refugees, like to be like big obvious ones. But certainly like financial stressors, and pieces around that can also be really impactful when we're looking at like just our system and our stress load as a whole.
Absolutely. So those are a few different types of stressors that we try to encourage our clients to be mindful about, and all ones that are contributing to that like total stress load, right? And obviously some of those seem like when it comes to perceived stress and rating on a scale from 1 to 5, some of those are obvious and we're going to be like, yes, but a lot of those people probably don't think about, oh, Nicola's just adding one more. This is important. physical like,
how do we not add that? Yeah.
physical stress is one too. Very, very relevant to the clients we work with, because like Nicola said at the beginning, when we exercise, yes, it is great for us. It's doing amazing things for our body, for our mental health, for our physical health, but it is eliciting a stress response, because our body does not need to adapt if there's no stressor to adapt to, right? Especially when it comes to building muscle, hypertrophy, strength gains, performance gains. If we don't have a stressor to adapt to, we're not going to get better. That's why we do progressive overload. That's why all of these training modalities exist, right? But it is still a stress on our body. So if we are now adding that on to chronically high perceived stress, gut issues, shit sleep, like there's a point where it's probably not helpful and your body does not have the resources to even adapt to it.
Right? Yeah. Which leads to some like really challenging conversations when clients are like, but I need to be going to the gym. Whether they have like the it's my therapy kind of mindset or like the no rest days attitude, it's like so interesting to see how many times a client is coming in working out 6 or 7 times a week and we're like, hey, you're going to start training 4 times a week and things actually improve, better body composition, you know, better gut health or feeling better, energy is higher, generally like feeling leaner as a result. And it's counterintuitive because you're doing less, but you're actually reducing the stress. And so again, this is so important to keep in mind when we are talking about body composition changes or fat loss, because it is such a balancing act of, you know, balancing the stress and your output with the intake and how your body is feeling, because you can so easily overdo it by adding in too much cardio too fast, by decreasing calories too much. And so conceptualizing the different ways that we are expending energy, that we have energy coming in, and how all of that is impacted and impacts stress.
Mm-hmm. One caveat here is that this does not mean that high intensity training or certain types of training or cardio is bad for you. No. Okay. We're not in that fucking camp. It is just, again, how is that playing in with everything else going on in our life?
Yeah. Context is huge here. Yeah. It's going to depend on your life as an individual, point blank.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So those are various forms of stress. Lots of things to think about there. Think and consider. About it. Yeah. Think about it. So we talked a little bit about acute versus chronic stress. And many of the stressors that we just went through, the forms of stress, can be both acute and or chronic, right? And the acute stressors are the ones that like happen in a short term and there's a response and then we respond to it. So the saber-toothed tiger is a great example. Whereas chronic is stress that doesn't let up. It's okay. That response is like continuously going and it's never getting into a state where we're in that rest and digest.
Yeah. So like a modern day example would be like jet lag for one day. That's an acute stressor. Jet lag week after week after week, chronic. Mm-hmm. One stressful email, acute, stressful work environment day after day after day, chronic.
Mm-hmm. Again, some of those are going to be within our control. Some of them, not so much. So being mindful of in the context of this conversation, we're wanting to be more aware of like those chronic stressors that we have. Do we want to dive into this anymore? Okay. Moving on from that.
So what happens then when stress increases and then continues? So we're into that like chronic stress. Let's assume that whatever is going on for you is continuing, and we've got stressors coming in from a whole host of other things. What's going on in the body there? How does our body adapt to that?
So like Nicola mentioned, we're going to have down regulation in a lot of our hormonal systems that are not crucial to our survival in this moment. So thyroid, we usually see a drop in thyroid function. We can see massive shifts in reproductive hormones and big imbalances there. So changes in testosterone, changes in our estrogen, estradiol, and progesterone, our menstrual cycle, lots of imbalance and dysregulation there.
Some adrenal dysregulation, so adaptations where body changes cortisol production in an attempt to like rectify those external stressors. We can see changes to brain chemistry in terms of neurotransmitters. So we talked about like anxiety and depression might be like a indirect kind of result and contributor to stress. And then we can also see changes to digestion. So increases in like IBS or constipation, diarrhea, all those super cute things.
Yeah. The digestion one is something that I think a lot of clients like don't tie to.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll have clients that are just like, oh, I've been so bloated, or my stomach's been so off, or I haven't shit for 4 days, or the vice versa. Right. And then we're looking at, okay, what's going on in that time? And like, it is hugely tied. And when we look at actual conditions like IBS, stress is like a huge trigger for individuals with IBS or other chronic gut conditions, big time. Yes.
Yeah. So with that, some of these you might notice for yourself, but things like, you know, we're not necessarily going to notice like, oh, my estradiol has changed this month.
Right.
You know, you might see like PMS symptoms change, especially over time. It would be like more obviously if you like lost your cycle. But how else, you know, what are some other things we might look to tell us, hey, our stress seems to be increasing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where we like to have a good read on our biofeedback, right? And so we use the acronym SHREDS for this, and we've done episodes on this. This is from Sam Miller, but sleep, hunger, recovery, energy, digestion, and stress. So if we are keeping tabs on those on a continuous basis, we're going to be able to start to recognize when things are changing, right? Changing positively, changing negatively. And it can take a long time because a lot of us are just used to feeling a certain way, right? When we work with clients, so many of them don't realize how little energy they had when they started, right? Or how shitty they felt when they started. We just accept it as like, this is normal, right? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to feel like this. And we can't even conceptualize that like there's something better out there. Mm-hmm. And so when we start to really dive into these SHREDS and track our biofeedback and pay attention to these things, it can give us little clues into some changes that we maybe need to make. And obviously has a carryover effect on how we're feeling longer term.
Yeah. Oh God. That just makes me think of like in my kind of like late teens, early 20s, especially like through college, I was really like a person committed to this idea that I was just like not a morning person, because I would wake up feeling so groggy, literally headache every morning. And I was like, this is just because I'm not a morning person.
Right.
Cut to like a decade later when I'm actually getting adequate sleep, I can easily be a morning person. And in fact, it's usually when I'm like most like productive and creative, because I am like, you know, sleeping 8 to 9 hours. I have a good handle on that. Mm-hmm. Versus like, man, I was getting away with like 5-6 hours of sleep every single day and was like, oh yeah, I'm not a morning person. Like, hello.
Yeah. The sleep one, I think, is a big thing for our clients. Another one that I experienced, and I think a lot of our clients experience, is the digestive side of things. Yeah. So like when Nicola and I first met, my stomach was fucked. Like I could not eat anything without absolute terrible bloating. If I looked at cheese, I would shit myself. Like, it was so bad. And it's, I still have certain issues with certain things and can absolutely like understand which foods my body tolerates well and which doesn't. But at that time, I was just like, oh, my stomach's just fucked. It's going to be like this forever. And if I want to have XYZ, I'm just going to have to deal with the consequences.
Right. Flash just like forward. Resign ourselves to like feeling shitty. Flash forward shitty. To
like, okay, spending time not trying to shrink my body, actually eating real food and not like fucking protein Pop-Tarts and like warmed up Quest bars and Walden Farms syrup. Like, it just, again, we think this like digestive thing is just what it is, but it is often a result of chronic dieting, chronic stress about how we look, chronic stress from the rest of our life. In that time of my life, I was in my shit relationship, right? So like, it doesn't have to be normal if you don't like how you're feeling. Yeah. Anyways, those are some things you can like track and start to pay attention to.
Yeah.
I think we should go into this. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of circling back to the piece we opened with, where it's like, yes, stress is inevitable, and yet we do still have so much power over how we navigate stress. And this maybe is talking a little bit more about perceived stressors in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like this concept, and I think it can be really helpful for a lot of people to envision stress on a spectrum, where our response to stress from like a mental, kind of like cognitive, emotional lens, if we view stress on one side of that spectrum, where our perception of it is like stress is actually enhancing. Yes, it's a challenge, but we see it as something that actually moves us forward. We're able to recognize the motivation behind it. We're able to see that like it's something we can and always have been able to overcome. That's like one side of this like stress mindset. The stress is enhancing. We're not scared of it. We're not trying to avoid it. We trust ourselves to work through it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of this stress mindset spectrum are people who are stuck viewing stress as like debilitating. We see it as a problem, something we need to try and avoid as much as possible. And as a result, we don't necessarily feel as though we have the tools to actually work through it. And so most people, I would say, fall somewhere in the middle, and like, depending on the domain of that stress, maybe lean one side towards one side or another. Mm-hmm. But this kind of like stress mindset is really tied to what we've talked about so much, is this growth mindset, where on one side, where we're viewing stress as debilitating, we're probably also viewing ourselves as like being stuck as like a singular person. We don't have much room for growth.
Yeah.
We don't really place a lot of emphasis on our ability to change. And on the flip side, if we are adopting this like stress as enhancing mindset, we're probably also more likely to have a growth mindset, where we recognize that like challenges will come, but that we are resourced enough and have the ability to, you know, adapt to said challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So for folks who, you know, have that stress as enhancing, we're generally more able to not only have those skills to work through stress, but we're also able to, you know, overcome it more quickly, have a more regulated response to it. So instead of that stress that comes up now dictating the rest of our day, we're able to, you know, hold it as a stressor without letting it bleed into all of the other areas of our life. Mm-hmm. We're likely to overcome it quicker. We're less anxious about it. All of those pieces that sound really, really great. And on the flip side, it's kind of like the exact opposite. If we're viewing a stressor as debilitating, it's like it stops us in our tracks. We feel super stuck. We don't believe that we can work through it. And it becomes so overwhelming that, like, of course, we're going to do whatever we fucking can to avoid stress at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah. And either end of that spectrum isn't necessarily healthy, right? Because Nicola gave the example of like the person who's like rating one stress, when we're like, well, fuck, you're actually like a 10 stress. But so we need to move somewhere in the middle, right? And that's going to come from a variety of methods in terms of like stress management itself. So working on things like deep breathing, rest and digest time, setting boundaries, that kind of stuff. It's going to come from, you know, mindset work, potentially therapy, that kind of stuff. And from building that awareness and having more understanding of like what's going on and how your body is responding to certain things. Like all of those are going to be pieces and moving yourself to a spot on the spectrum where you are mindful of the stressors and you are doing what you can to minimize them as much as possible, but you're also not getting crumbled when something does come up and it's not impacting you for like multiple days at a time or influencing your ability to take care of yourself. And obviously there is nuance in this conversation and mental health plays a huge role in that. But those are like some things to just start thinking about for yourself.
Yeah. As you were talking, an example that came to mind is like, if we know we're going to have a stressful week, awesome. We have then some decisions to make about that. We could kind of just like, you know, tiptoe through the week, try to just like get through it as unscathed as possible. Or we could say like, okay, how can I minimize stressors in other areas? And how can I work through to still like get through it and maybe even like progress? Like it doesn't have to be the end of the world. So I think about like people who have a super busy week at work. To get ahead of that stress, why don't we meal prep out a few more meals than we normally would, so that we can grab and go with our food? Why don't we have some like emergency snacks stocked in our office or our vehicle, you know, bonus points for like high protein, things like that, for just in case those moments of like, ugh, I forgot something at home.
Yeah.
Why don't we schedule in rest time and prioritize that rest time to the same degree that you would prioritize like a work meeting? So really holding yourself to those standards, setting things up in advance. And I think another piece of that is like reminding yourself like of all of the other stressful times you have gotten through, and this time doesn't have to be any different.
For sure.
So yeah. there's the preparatory things, there's the actual actions you're taking, the different behaviors you're engaging in, but there is also like a really important and very, very underrated and super helpful mindset piece about like how you're conceiving yourself through these stressors.
Big time. Yeah, that's a great example. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much it. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
No, I mean, I think like the takeaways here then are like, let's cover all like the different thought patterns we talked about. Stress is not something we have to avoid.
Yeah.
And you absolutely have the ability to work through it and work through it well. While at the same time, it is really important to understand the various things going on in your world that are contributing to your total stress load and finding ways to balance those out. There are going to be times when perceived stress is high. How can we take care of our physical stress or our environmental stressors? And really navigating, you know, taking a full, like, we were just talking pre-podcast about how we hate this word, but a holistic. Take on like your stress to really, you know, allow yourself to move through it as optimally as possible and without, you know, the potential for negative outcomes.
Absolutely. Maybe a good place to start would be to take those different types of stress that we mentioned and like literally write down in your world right now, what are those stressors for you? Right. And that can be, this can be an example of using that end of the spectrum where stress is a challenge. It's something for us to like help us grow. And now we have all of that laid out and now we can look at, okay, where can we delegate? Where can we reduce things? Where can we switch things up a little bit? Right. So for example, if you are someone who is in a stressful week at work, maybe your intense CrossFit class isn't going to be like the most supportive thing, but maybe going and just doing like a 20-minute strength workout is going to support your need for exercise, the endorphins that come from it allow you to still feel like you're making progress without like completely letting that helpful habit go. Right. Those are just like, that's just like one example. And I think about that example a lot, just with the clients that I have right now. But taking a look at it as a whole and seeing all of those laid out might give you a little bit more direction on like steps that you might want to take moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And I would also add to that, like, fuck around with your quote unquote stress relieving activities and try some things that require less of your attention and provide you with less stimulus.
Yeah.
Nature is so underrated for this, being outside. I'm really guilty of always having a podcast in. Yeah. Like, but just be out there by yourself. Reading is another really great one. Mm-hmm. You know, just being in the presence of other people. Like, there's a difference between like a human connection and like you getting stimulus from a phone or a screen from TV. So things like that. So fuck around with like your attention and see where, you know, you are spending most of your time.
Fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, why don't we do a fuck yes and fuck no?
Okay. I wrote some.
Yeah. You share these.
Okay. My fuck yes is that I have now officially finished my comp exams. However, I don't have my grades back, so there is still some lingering stress there.
There's some fuck no there as well.
There's a tiny fuck no, but overall, just like I got it over with.
Yeah.
I also had like the greatest fucking therapy session in ages yesterday. It was so necessary. I think I'll write a few posts on the wise words she shared, but it like, I don't think I've ever been so instantly transformed by a few comments.
Amazing.
Completely changed my perspective on something.
Love those sessions. Yeah.
Oh, so good. And again, yeah, it was a session where I went in and was like, I don't really need this.
Have anything
and
to talk
oh
about. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I did. I cried as soon as she closed the door.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, it was good. It was so good. So that's another fuck yes.
Nice. I had one of those last week too.
Yeah. Amazing.
It was good.
Yeah. I also saw, did you and Brad have a session with Cal?
We had a session with Cal last night. Yeah, it was.
I have it, your email notification still set up for that because I'm still logged into.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, we had like, a session with Cal last night. It wasn't that great, honestly. It was one of those ones where it like took fucking 50 minutes to like get to the point. And then at 50 minutes, I started bawling. And then Cal was like, okay, we got to wrap it up. We'll pick this up next time. And
that's tough.
So that was annoying. That was a fuck no. But yeah, good therapy sessions are awesome. It's funny how like one comment, like one fucking sentence or like one perspective that you hadn't thought of can like shift the way that you're viewing a situation so much.
And I feel like I've had a lot of those lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's nice. Little phrases that I was like, whoa, that hits. And I feel like, you know, usually it doesn't have that same impact.
Right.
Or I like think about it too much and then, but these ones just, they just hit and I'm like, oh yeah, taking that, putting that in the bank.
It could be that you just like, because comps are done now and like stress is a little bit lower, you just have more capacity for like receiving those things.
Also very true. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Any fuck no's for you besides the less than ideal therapy sesh?
Honestly, our life is fucking chaos right now. I'm pregnant as fuck. We are getting ready to sell our house. We just bought a house. We're going to be moving. We are going to Europe for a wedding. Like, it's all good things, but it's just like chaos. But I feel like I am handling it well. I'm like excited about it. The biggest thing that I'm like sad about is that I feel like we don't have much time right now to like slow down and just like enjoy these last few months we have without a kid and like, you know, so there's that, but I am excited about lots of things that are happening right now.
Yeah. This is a great example of like having a fuck ton of stress and yet having a stress as enhancing mindset while also still needing to find moments where you can decompress because otherwise you're headed for a brain injury.
Yeah. We can't be having that. Yeah.
No.
Luckily, I'm in a point right now where my body like will force me to rest.
Yeah, love that.
Growing a human. When we're not growing a human, our body sometimes takes a little bit longer to tell us that. So I'm like not worried about like overdoing it.
Yeah. Baby boy. What was the name you messaged? Talon?
Talon.
Baby,
what
baby
the
boy
fuck?
Talon in there. Yeah. Okay. This is like where our algorithms are. I think we talked about this a while ago where I said my like nightmare algorithm is like kid stuff and golf stuff. And now because of Sarah, I sent her all the baby kid funny dog videos that I see. And as a result, my algorithm keeps feeding them to me.
Yeah.
So
every
I am now
day
living
I wake
my
up,
nightmare.
Nicola is sending me like videos about being pregnant or having kids or like kids
but
with
they're
puppies
also
or like
so funny. That one where the kids come into the parents' room while they're still sleeping and they start
pillow,
sleeping.
Yeah.
The dad chucks a pillow and just knocks the kid out. I was like, that is me as a mother in a scene. Like,
yeah. Or the shuffleboard one where they like are pushing the
stroller. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you leave dads to their own.
Seriously. Yeah.
Anyway, so
yeah, that's my algorithm now too, and the just like dumb influencer health trends.
Yeah, we've got adrenal cocktails and baby names. Oh yeah, that's how we got on this topic, is because I also get names. Those reels that you obviously you do as well that are like try these baby names, and it's like the most random ass words,
so
not even
ridiculous.
Names, just
it's
like
not
words,
a name. No. Yeah,
words you've never heard before.
Yeah.
But Sarah was telling me about potential baby name options last week, and I told Brandon about them, and we do not agree. So
no.
No.
It's hard to agree. Our
well, I would win, obviously.
The people in our life have started naming him already. Also, yeah, we're having a boy. I don't think I've even
Yeah, you did.
Yet.
You did.
But so my dad is calling him Jack.
Cute. Okay.
Okay. And everyone else, like all of Brad's friends, because Brad's nickname is Bill. They're
Baby
calling
Bill?
Him. They're calling him Little Billy.
Little Billy, that's okay. Bill is Bill Williamson, though. We talked about this. You can't have a Billy Williamson.
No, Billy Williamson. Billy Willie.
Billy.
Yeah. No. Anyways, names are hard. Names are hard. Yeah.
Shoot, Sarah. Any of your hot name suggestions? She would love them. Although I already know what she's going to name it because I'm manifesting it.
Which one do you like? Are you going to tell
do you
me?
Want, I'm not, do you want me to say?
Maybe
I'm not,
not.
Going to say it here.
You can say it privately.
I think you know which one I'm gunning for. But I will say all the other ones she listed to me, I was like, that's a dog's name. That's a dog's name. That's also a dog's
name. One you're gunning
name.
For Brad doesn't like, though.
So?
Yeah. Well, you know, Brad's my husband and the kid's dad. It kind of matters that he likes it, but yeah.
I was like, let me play the best friend card here. I guess
husband like,
Trump's best friend when it's involving a child. Fine.
Whatever.
Little Billy.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
we got to go because I got to go get this house ready to get pictures.
Yeah. Sarah has to go navigate her stress.
Yes. Yes. And my mom's
good
coming
deep
over,
breath.
Which is a de-stressor and a stressor at the same time.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Workouts, moms, Saul.
Yeah.
Stress and de-stress are all at the same time. Hey, everybody. Okay. We'll wrap it up and we'll see you next time for maybe an episode about pregnancy ? If not, you know, it'll be something random that we decide on based on our mood. So you're welcome.
Yeah. It's a surprise. Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.